CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. It is fundraising time for Bob Zimmerman. If you contribute $35 or more, Bob will send you an email, and in that email, he will include the ebook of one of his four publications. He has a new one out now. A very good deal, and at the same time, a demonstration that you can correspond with the cranky one, because we're about to go to Sunspots. Sunspots are a particular watchtower for Bob because of anecdotes that connected to the Earth's climate. Right now, however, we have one of those exciting moments that usually begins a B-movie that you watch on Amazon Prime very late at night because you've seen all the good science fiction. All right? It reads this way. This flare is classified as an X-15 class flare. X-class denotes the most intense flares, while the number provides more information about its strength. An X-2 is twice as intense as an X-1. An X-3 is three times as intense, and so on. Bob, X-15. Is the world going to end? Are we looking for the sun destroying our radio towers?
Well, John, I hate to correct you, but it's not X-15, it's X-1.5.
Oh, rats.
So it isn't quite as powerful as you thought.
I thought
it is somewhat of a big deal because this is the first X-class flare that the sun has emitted since 2017. Which was when it was ramping down from the last solar maximum. It went through the entire minimum for about 2 years, a very, very, very long and deep minimum. It is now ramping up to the next maximum of sunspot activity, and this heralds that maximum is coming because this is the first X-class solar flare, and, you know, are we all going to die? No, we're not going to die, and, you know, these solar flares happen all the time. It's very, very, very rare for a solar flare or coronal mass ejection, which is another event, to point itself, happen in a position so it points itself to the Earth and has enough power to affect the Earth in any way, and the worst scenario that really we face at this point is a slight shock to the electric grid. The grids on the Earth are pretty much prepared for it. But nonetheless, this X flare does signal the ramp up to solar maximum, John. And I have a sunspot update that I do every month. This is based on NOAA's graph detailing the step-by-step cycle of sunspot activity. And I post their graph with annotations to show how things have changed over time compared to their predictions. Because they don't always tell us whether, they don't always keep their predictions on the graph, so you don't see how well they did. And so I put those back on. So the sunspot cycle, John, this year is really interesting because while the last cycle was very weak, way below all predictions, for the last 2 year and a half since the sun began to increase solar activity, it has been consistently much higher than the predictions. The sun is hot in terms of its sunspot activity, and it continues to exceed all the predictions that were expected by NOAA.
I want to see if I read this correctly. I'm looking at November 2020. This is a cool chart, Bob, solar cycle progression. Yeah. We're looking at the spike. I mean, that looks like an extraordinary spike from what was predicted. Is that what I'm seeing correctly?
Yeah, that's what you're seeing. The black line there indicates the actual activity month to month. The red line on the curve on the map indicates the NOAA's panel prediction.
I see.
The consensus of NOAA scientists on what the solar cycle is going to be. Their prediction was it was going to be as weak, if not weaker, than the previous solar maximum, which was one of the weakest in a century. There are some solar scientists who say it's going to be a very powerful maximum. Well, right now it's turning out to be more powerful than expected, or if not more powerful, it's happening sooner than expected. And so we're going to have to wait. It's still too early to say for sure. It's also not that much more powerful than their prediction. It doesn't mean we're going to have a very powerful maximum. It just means it's going to be more powerful than predicted. It all points to the uncertainty of science here. They really don't understand the solar cycle and what causes the sunspot cycle. And so their predictions are only based on extrapolating past performance. and it doesn't work very well, John.
To the surface of Mars, to Jezero Crater, where Perseverance is chugging along, and we have an image from Jezero Crater. Do we learn anything from the image?
Well, this is from the net. You know, I just look at their pictures as they come down, the raw images, and I just grab something when I think it's really cool. And so I have a panorama that I put together from two navigation kit images from Perseverance that show essentially the direction it's going to be traveling. And it's a very bleak and desolate terrain. Mostly it's dirt and rocks. They're in the middle of the crater, so they don't have any mountains nearby, so it's pretty not very exciting terrain. This direction in this image, though, John, does look in the direction of where Ingenuity flew on its ninth flight this past weekend. During July 4th weekend, they did their ninth flight, and that ninth flight was interesting in that they were going to push the envelope significantly. They were literally risking an engineering test to failure. They were going to fly more than twice as far as they've flown before at a faster speed and go higher than they had done before. And on top of that all, they were also going to fly over rougher terrain, which could conceivably have caused problems with the helicopter's navigation system. And so they did it this weekend. I've got a picture on Behind the Black of the taken by Ingenuity as it was landing, and they've only released six images from this flight, and they all are at the landing point. So it does appear that the helicopter landed successfully. It's a little early to say. They haven't given us an update yet, but it does appear it did successfully complete its flight. It landed successfully. Did it go where it was supposed to go? Don't know yet, John, but it's still working, and that's a very cool thing.
It's also very cool, Bob, to see an image from another planet of a flying object. It's very cool.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it looks like a mosquito with antenna, with a radio antenna.
Yes, this is true.
Buzzing along over this. We're taking this too much for granted, Bob. It's all wonderful. All right. Ingenuity's flight. We now look for, Bob looks for, when he gets hungry, he looks for food on the surface of Mars. He's found scallops. Where, Bob?
I call these sublimating scallops. They're in Utopia Basin, which is the lowland plains in the north. This is north of where Charang, the rover, sits, as well as Perseverance. It's in the area where you expect to see a lot of ice, and they think ice sublimating away is what caused this scallop. They're not sure exactly the formation process, but it does tell us something about Charang. Charang's in a place where it might find water. They don't see it now, but if they do, it'll be a big deal.
Bob Zimmerman, website is Behind the Black. It is July fundraising. For $35 or more, you get one of Bob's four books as an ebook and an email from Bob Zimmerman. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.